Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I, as always, am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, short show tonight, just me and Karen, just the Expanse. So, that's where we are at. So, as soon as Karen gets here, we will jump on in and rock and roll. So, and there she is. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? You still there? Oh, I lost her. Oh, wait a second, as Karen calls back.
I'm sorry, I lost.
She lost it again. Uh-oh. Since Jamie's not here, Karen gets technical difficulties.
Third time's a charm, huh?
I was just going to say, it's funny. I was going to say take two, but I didn't have a chance to speak. So, yeah, third time's a charm. I told our listeners, since Jamie's not here tonight, you absorb the technical difficulties.
I do. I gave up calling on Wi-Fi and just went with the good old cell phone data. So I think we should be fine now.
So, all right.
All right. Only one thing to talk about this week.
Yep.
Get on
just it. The Expanse. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think?
You know, I normally would say on most shows that I don't like when we say this all the time, we don't like when the family is separated, when the team is separated and every episode is like one character centric. It can be frustrating sometimes. And it can work to the detriment of a comprehensive story, but these have all been really compelling, these. And as much as I'm famous, I there were some ridiculous things that happened in this episode, but in general, it was really compelling.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of deep thoughts while I was watching it, actually. How did you like it?
I, while I was watching it tonight, I made a comment about how I'm a little annoyed because this is episode 7 and they're still not back together yet. They are all still separated. And it's kind of annoying because I too feel the show is stronger when they're all together. But at the same time, each episode has been compelling and I haven't really missed, like, I guess I know they're not together, but I haven't noticed it while I'm watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I had hoped this episode when Alex contacted me, said he's on his way to Tycho, and they realized they're really close to each other. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, come on, Alex, come join us. You know, find out that we're all, you know, don't tell them to keep going to Tycho and take some time off. No. Come join us.
Yeah.
It would have been much easier for them to join than the way that Naomi joins at the end of the episode. Holy shit. But before
if she
we get
did,
to that,
right? Like, is she alive at the end of the episode? But before we get to that. What's interesting about this, so we have the whole, like, the Holden and Bobby and Alex part we can talk about as part of the advancing storyline. But the bulk of the episode is taken up, like, by really this story of an abusive relationship and an abusive person is really what I felt like. Like, I just kept thinking to myself, this is a textbook abuser. I mean, I've not been in an abusive relationship, certainly not that level. But I kept thinking, like, this is everything they say is a textbook abuser, and he's so manipulative, and he's a demagogue, he's a terrorist, like... Actually, he's a little bit, it was kind of complex, and yet they put so much effort into really deepening Naomi's character and Phillip's character, but I do feel that Marcos is like a bit of a cartoon, a bit of a sketch, a bit of I don't want to say he's a trope, but there's no personality to him. Like there's no like he's just evil. Like it's just evilness. There's no real.
I would say one thing about Marcos, and that is, I really think, at least something I'm getting from him is Naomi actually hurt him. Like I think he really did. You know, I mean, yeah, he used Naomi to further his own goals and ego, but I think when she actually left him, I don't know if it was more how dare she do that to me, I'm Marcos and ours, you know, type of thing. Or, you know, I mean, he definitely wants to punish her for leaving him, because how dare she, you know? So there's nobody's ever done that to him. Then, you know, before or since. So I think that kind of gives him a little more something, but I definitely agree that he's kind of one-dimensional for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, so I agree with you. I mean, we saw a little glimpse of a happy family, but it was from Naomi's perspective. It was Naomi's back flashback. We didn't really see. I mean, I agree with you. We see, you know, this bit of Marco. I mean, he certainly feels betrayed, right? Whether that's because he loved her and his heart was broken, or because he's just like, I'm an abuser. And I mean, I took it. And maybe being a woman, and I'm not saying that you identify with Marcos, I'm not getting ready to say that, but somehow I identified maybe with Naomi, or just felt sympathetic to her a little more in this where I did feel that at one point I thought to myself, like, this is like parents using the kid against each other in a divorce, like taken to the millionth degree, right? Like how Marcos Marcos immediately used the baby against Naomi. Like he, and I think he admits it's not like he hid the baby because he thought Naomi was a bad parent or a bad influence. He says, I thought you'd come, you know, and Sim says it also, like, we thought you'd come back. He did it to force Naomi, you know, an abusive move to force her to stay with him. Not out of love for the child or to protect the child. Like I did get the feeling that, like, he saw the child as a bargaining chip. I mean, his whole life, he definitely has seen Phillip at, like, he's using Phillip at, like, to further his, like, to make the Marcos dynasty and the Marco or the Anaris dynasty. I mean, that's how I felt about him, right? Like, is there any part of us that really feels like he really loves this child as his son? Like, just for who he is?
No, he's a legacy.
Yeah.
That's all he is. He's Marco's legacy.
And he's, like, up until now, I thought maybe that Phillip just idolized his father and had been radicalized by his father, but we got to see in this episode the way Phillip is manipulated and abused by Marcos also. Like, that scene on the bridge was insane. Right?
When Phillip wants to have his own ship and Marco's, oh, really? You want the people to know you? No. They know me. They'll know you when I'm gone. That part?
Yeah, where he says, like, you're nothing without me, you're nothing. He, like, tears him down.
Yeah.
And then, like, the whole crew, by the end of it, the whole crew is chanting, Phillip, Phillip, Phillip. Like, it's so manipulative and so, like, just, like, debasing any self-confidence or individual thought that child could have, right? It was really sick.
And then the flip side is, you know, then Naomi's pleading with him and Phillip, you know, to once again impress his father and show his father, you know, everything. He backhands Naomi, and I was like, fuck Phillip, I'm done with him. You know, it seemed like Naomi was kind of getting through to him a little bit. You know, but he's never shown me any remorse. Like, when she asked him point blank, she's like, do you have any remorse for the people you've killed? And he's like, what? He's like, they were in her, so what? Like, he has no remorse whatsoever. So I already have felt that he's not really redeemable. But to in that moment, to, you know, the closeness to him and Naomi were kind of starting, and then he does that, and then
yeah.
at the end when she goes out the airlock, and he realizes what's going to happen, and he goes up to the door himself, you know, as she's doing it, but it's like he can't have it both ways. He can't keep trying to impress his father and have a relationship with Naomi. It really is a one or the other situation. And, you know, regardless of his, you know, complicated feelings about his mother, he's got to start. I mean, I thought he was starting to see, I mean, his father, he, I'm going to go flat out and say, you are nothing without me. Hello. No, but it had the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Screw Philip. I don't care if he dies.
I agree with you, but I agree with you, but there was a part of me that felt a little bit like he's a child who's been raised inside a cult almost. He's like a child who's been raised inside ISIS or the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or whatever. I do believe that has Philip ever been off his father's ships ever, except to go on to like friendly, like terrorist cells. Like he's never met an inner. He's never met a Martian,
right.
Probably. He's never really spoken to anyone outside of this crew, except for maybe a couple of people that he was going to like scam and kill or whatever, right?
Right.
So he, you know, and I think, I mean, God, so this, I'm going to step into some squishy territory here, but it sort of parallels a lot of discussions we're having in our country right now about sort of like, you know, like hating all the inners. Okay, it's not really like there's a simple parallel to racism, which really isn't correct because they do feel like the inners have exploited the belters and not cared about them, right, for a long time. But there's an element of like Philip has like demonized a whole entire population of people that he thinks are the cause of all his problems. Like Marcos thinks these people are the cause of all his problems. And there's a little bit, I don't know, I feel like we are like in our country right now talking about demagogues and violence and class, not class, like identity kind of stuff, right? And this was written long before any of this happened, but given that we keep talking about like white supremacist insurrections on the news every day, I guess that's why I drew that in my head. So anyway, I do think, I mean, there probably is a path to redemption for Philip on the show, only because I think Naomi's arc depends on Philip's redemption. Either Philip is redeemed or Naomi will die attempting to redeem him, I think, is how this story typically would go, right?
Or there is a third option. Because one thing the Expanse does not do is the Expanse, I mean, you've got your typical moments, but the Expanse also has a habit of not or going in the direction you think it's going to. It's a little more realistic at times with how shit goes. The third option is Naomi has to come with the terms that she tried and she's never going to say, you know, that she can't save Philip, that he unfortunately is too far gone. And he, you know, dies or goes to prison, and she's just going to have to live with that and find a way to move on from it. Because you can't redeem – I'm sorry. He killed a bunch of scientists in cold blood, unarmed people who were just – they're scientists. They weren't hurting anybody. They were observing something, and he needed something from them, and he could have just taken what he needed and left and been done with it. But no, he murdered them in cold blood with no provocation. And I don't feel that, I mean, ever since that moment, I've always felt like there's no redemption for him. You know, maybe him and Naomi can come to terms or something, but he's not a redeemable character. And yes, he's in a really shitty situation, the way he was raised and everything. But he's not showing any remorse. Even after however much time has passed and he's been talking to Naomi, he still doesn't show remorse. And the only thing he seems to care about now, other than the Belters and his father, is he's, you know, kind of seeing his mother in a different light. But it doesn't excuse what he's already done, regardless of the situation he's in. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I mean, and he even, you know, I mean, he let the one Delta die who got stuck, and Finn was like, hey, what are you doing? We got, you know, we don't leave him behind. And Soap is very cold and was like, well, we have to leave him behind because we don't have time to sit around and wait for him. You know? So, and Marco,
yeah,
like, praised that. Marco was like, oh, that was such a, you know, you made the hard choice and everything, and da-da-da-da-da. You know? Which, that I get, you know, to a point. That Belter, he's a soldier. He knows the risks. He understands what on the lines. I get to a point. But,
yeah,
like, you can't have it both ways. And I think that's what Naomi needs to come to grips with, is she tried and it just wasn't going to happen. And even if he does come around and he helps them in some way, shape, or form, take Marco down, he's still not redeemable.
But do you think that Naomi is essentially coming to terms with it in the end, where we see that she is going to, I mean, that she's decided to leave?
She might have already.
Yeah. I mean, so Marcos, you know, near the end of the story, so here's where Marcos becomes a bit more less of a genius, like, terrorist leader, and a little bit more of a, like, abusive, jerky, whiny baby. Because he, you know, we have seen this sadistic streak in him over the past couple of episodes, where it's not enough to, like keep Naomi prisoner and, like, not let her get into his trouble, but he goes out of his way to sort of torture her, right? He wants to hurt her, and he says, like, listen, we're going to, like, use this, your ship, to lure James here and kill him, and once we've killed all your whole family, then we'll let you leave, right? So that's a very personal revenge at Naomi, and, like, as much as he says he doesn't care about her and he's over it, he clearly, as you say, is still very, as you pointed out, is very angry for whatever reason, right? It's an idiotic move because, you know, while the Rocinante, you know, as Bull points out, we can't take on 9 Martian destroyers, you know, they have what are those guns called? The PDFs, the PDAs, whatever they are, and they have the railgun, and they have proven themselves very capable in many, many situations, right? And it's just a dumb move for Marcos to invite Holden and the Rossi to, like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you've got this big plan to bring her to its knees, and you're going to compromise that by, like, being jealous of your ex's new boyfriend, which is, right? And wanting to, like, and his drive to humiliate and debase Naomi, clearly it's going to be his downfall, right? It's not like the move of an excellent general, admiral. But when he says that, and then as Philip backhands her and Philip goes along with it or whatever, like, maybe that is the moment where Naomi's like, look, I can't, like, obviously I'm getting nowhere. The child can't be redeemed, and I can't sacrifice Holden and whoever, she doesn't know, I guess, who's with him.
Yeah, she doesn't
know that Amos never came back. She doesn't know Amos never came back from Earth. She doesn't know Alex isn't there. Like, she can't sacrifice everyone she loves anymore. She can't trade their lives for Phillips at this point, right? So, I think that move into the airlock, maybe she's done with Phillip at that moment. I guess it didn't go. I don't believe she intended to lure Sin there, right? Like, she says to Sin, you shouldn't have followed me.
No. No. She didn't know Sin was going to, no. He didn't understand what she was doing, and I'm not quite sure I do.
That moment, I thought she was going to kill herself.
No, I didn't think she was going to kill herself.
Or did you think she was, like, faking killing herself so Phillip would come to her?
I didn't think she was going to kill herself because, yeah. Now here's, like, maybe I missed something. I saw the hypo, so I knew she was up to something. I knew it wasn't what it looked like. But when she actually opened the door and floated out, my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Now, here's my thing. Okay, Sin is now dead. Okay, he died. with his arm hanging out the window going, nah. Okay, she
yeah.
somehow managed to float halfway there, then inject herself with whatever was in the hypo, and then make her way
yeah.
into the airlock of the other ship and close the door, and then just kind of like float there. Did I miss something? How did she
so
not
you,
freeze
you,
to death? I mean, did Princess Leia give her some Jedi protection?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, like in
yeah.
Star Wars? I mean.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to say it was good, but I will say that this show has established that people live seconds in space. Like when we saw Ashford die, he sang a little bit in the airlock, and we've repeatedly seen people like breathe out that last freezing breath. Now, we've never seen anyone last long enough to shoot themselves over to another ship, right? But the show has established that you don't immediately explode or immediately die in space, which, okay, like, do I agree with that scientifically? Maybe not, but the show has done that, right? Also, the hypo was, do you remember when Monica was dying in the container with no air, and James brought a hypo filled
okay.
with oxygen-rich blood.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, and it was oxygen-rich blood to boost her really quickly to keep her from dying until they could get her into, like, an atmosphere. And so that's what Naomi, I assume, injected herself with. Like, I don't know if she withdrew her own oxygen-rich blood into that before she entered the lock, where she got it, but that's what I presume it was. That gave her that little extra boost to not die until she could get to the Sinovac or whatever the name of her ship is, Krencha, whatever it is, Czechoslovak. It was, it was not believable. I immediately thought that has to be in the book. There's no way they wrote that if it wasn't in the book. And then I looked it up, and sure enough, that is exactly from the book. Like, why else would you put that in? Because it's kind of dumb, right?
Right.
I think it's not believable. I think if the ship was a hair closer, if she had just had to get across that gangway that we've seen people walk across, the gangway takes them a long time to walk always, but, you know, that's like, what, 30 or 40 feet? Like, if I'd seen her try to cross that, but it went on for a long time. I mean, it was well shot and was beautiful looking and dramatic, but I was like, really? Why isn't she dead yet?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. Like, if Sin is dead, I mean, he almost instantly lost, you know, went unconscious. Yet she floated for a good however long, and I gotta admit, my jaw hit, when she actually went out the airlock, my jaw hit the floor, and it did not close until the credits rolled.
Yeah.
I mean, and what you say, it makes sense, if not for what happens with Sin. Now, who knows, maybe Sin's still alive, maybe, what's his name there, Philip, maybe Philip's gonna open the door and get in there and doubt, you know, and inject Sin with some oxygen too.
Doubtful.
But I
yeah. I'm sure there were like entire.
It wasn't equal.
Yeah.
Unless they didn't show it, and she juiced herself before she went out the airlock, and then juiced herself again. That's the only thing that really would make sense for me.
Yeah. Okay, that's possible, and I'm thinking there's probably a whole subreddit right now dedicated to discussing this, and multiple, like, chat threads on different sites about, like, how this could happen. Like, Sin is an older, fat man out of shape, and she, like, I don't know, and I don't know enough about space to know how, you know, it is a little disappointing because a lot of The Expanse seems to be grounded in what really is possible in space. It feels,
right.
As sci-fi goes, it feels more realistic to me than, say, like, getting in the transporter and eating yourself down to the planet, right?
Well,
and this felt like it violated something, and yet it's from the book. I would almost like to read the passage in the book to explain why Sin dies immediately almost. I mean, we do see him sort of look at her and breathe out that last breath, but it's within like millisecond, like 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And Naomi lasts like 40, it takes like 40 seconds for Naomi to like get to the, get to the other ship. And granted, she shot herself with a little blood, but how long?
Yeah.
I mean, really, if that's the case, if you were prepared, can't you just hold your breath? Like, I can hold my, how long can you hold your breath underwater? Like a whole minute, right? I don't know how long you hold your breath.
That's the thing. A, she wasn't holding her breath. She had her mouth open the whole time.
And B, it's
not real. It's not about the oxygen for your body. It's so cold in space, your body freezes.
Yeah, space. I don't know how cold it is because space is like the absence of any ability to measure the cold, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, would you immediately freeze solid?
That's the theory.
Yeah. Although we have not, we've seen people, like we saw Ashford freeze over a period of seconds or whatever. I mean, maybe we'll get some exposition later.
I'm hoping we do.
I can't believe we're actually hoping for exposition, but yeah.
In this case,
now,
I am, because that's kind of out there.
Now, I do, so she could have gotten some kind of little respirator or suit or helmet, or it's too bad she doesn't have that thing that Chris Pratt has in Guardians where, you know, becomes his helmet, but I think she wants the Inaros crew to believe she committed suicide and didn't survive, and I'm not sure the degree to which they can see her go inside. I mean, do they have a line of sight into the airlock on the other ship that she... And we see her get in there, but we don't see her press the button and it close. I assume the next episode that we see her in, we'll see those door close and atmosphere and person.
The outside door closed. She was still
She was still in there, but we didn't see, like, her press the button and the... Or we didn't see it activate for an inrush of atmosphere or whatever, right? Like, last we saw, she's floating in there with no air. And did she survive? Now, I'm sure she survived. She's the star of the show. And I think that she's not the star, but she's part of the main ensemble. For a character
we're already losing one main character for next season. We don't need to lose two.
Yeah. And I think for a main character to die, they deserve to have a complete scene and not have it be a hangover, a cliffhanger, right?
If that was... I don't think she's dead, but if that was her death scene, I'd be okay with it. That was pretty intense. And unexpected.
Yeah.
So,
If Naomi dies, does it take away Marcos's reason for killing Holden? Is Holden kind of safe? Like, what does Marcos have nothing to gain by pursuing Holden anymore if Naomi's dead? Except he could be so evil that he's like, even though she's dead, I still want to do this.
I think it pisses Marco off to the point where he just starts killing people.
Yeah.
I think he might come a little unhinged.
Yeah. I have so many questions about what we saw.
Yeah.
I got more questions.
As far as your question about Philip, I think it was genuine concern, just because I felt like when he backhanded her, I felt like it was, I still don't see him being redeemed, but there was a part of me that felt like it was an act for his father, but there's a way to enact that without hitting Naomi, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny, I was expecting Sin to pop up and be like, to smack Philip and be like, "That's your mother." But Sin just sat there. Sin just sat there and was like, "I'm not getting involved this time."
He's afraid of Marcos. And like, there's a part of him that loves Marcos the way he used to love him and Naomi, right?
Yeah.
Like, he considers Marcos family. So some of my questions are, so Philip witnessed it out the window. He actually looks out the window and watches it, right? And he's got this look on his face where, you know, I think, did he think his mother was really committing suicide? Is that look because he's upset she's committing suicide? He's lost Sin, who's like a second, like a surrogate father to him and probably a better father than Marcos ever was. Like, is that, like, I don't know if he can really see that. Well, he's looking into, he sees it because he's looking into the airlock, right? He sees Naomi go out. I don't know if Philip has an angle where he can see her reach the other ship.
I wondered that too.
Thinks she's just spaced, right?
Yeah.
I wondered about that, and I wonder if anybody else on the ship knows it. Like, how did Philip come to be at the airlock at that moment when nobody else did?
Because Sin left the video feed on when he looked at the computer.
Sin purposely
to find out.
Put the video feed on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe
and
nobody
he left
else
it on
saw
when
it.
He left. Yeah.
Like maybe so it's just going to be Philip being like, oh my god, mommy jumped out the airlock. And Marcos will be like, oh, like, maybe Naomi gets away. Like, clearly Naomi gets away with it. Because if she gets recaptured next week, then I'd be like, whatever. Like, I'd like to see her be alone on the ship. to be alone on her ship and trying to get away. Although, and she's on a ship that's remote piloted to trick Holden. Like, is Naomi's skill up to undoing whatever Marcos did? And also, if Naomi doesn't have any physical, she's got to have some physical, like, handicaps at least, like temporary, like she's got to be affected physically by what happened and mentally, right? Like I want to see her be compromised trying to react.
Well,
if she's not compromised, I'm going to be more pissed.
It took Monica a minute to recover too, and she was at least in a storage container.
Yeah. So I mean, it's great because it looks like it's a step towards our team getting back together a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And
except for poor
them,
Amos, who's still on Earth.
I know. And the rest of them who are all separated. You got any more Marcos before
No, I think we can move on to other stuff that happened.
The rest of the gang. All right.
Which is kind of short because, I mean, that was the meat and potatoes of most of the episode. But
yeah, the rest was like moving the story forward.
Yeah.
Didn't Alex eject the core from their ship? And I thought Bobby and Alex were like hurtling through space without any control. Like they ricocheted last time we saw them. They killed those people and used their ship to propel themselves, right? So how are they suddenly able to be like, yeah, we'll meet you at Tyka? Like what? How are they going to, I thought they were like adrift and going to die.
They ejected the core. They're, all right, put it, I don't know their lingo, but to put it, they don't have warp speed anymore. Moving on.
Impulse engines.
On impulse, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, I get that. They have no more warp speed. They have impulse engines. I expected Holden to be like, hey, we'll come and scoop you up. I was a little surprised when he says, go to Tyco. Right?
Yeah, that was... which ended up changing anyway, because then they were like, all right, you keep an eye on these people, and we're going after the Zamaya. So they ended up not going to Tyco, so they are still in the vicinity of each other. And, you know, I got to say, though, I was really hoping they were going to sweep them up for the big scene when they, you know, when they caught up to Zamaya, because he gave Bull the fun stuff. I'm glad Bull's a good pilot too, but that roll and shooting the cannon to blow up all the missiles, I mean, that was so cool. And I'm like, man, it would have been so much better if it was Alex. He'd have a trick up his sleeve.
Oh yeah. I thought that was a really great scene, and you know, it was well directed and well shot in the CGI. This type of scene, like, thank you, Amazon. We're getting this because Amazon picked up this show. And it's, I loved what Sci-Fi Channel was doing on a smaller budget, but this level of space battle costs money, right?
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice to see Alex shoot that railgun. No one should shoot it except Alex.
Yeah. Two things on the Rocinante. Monica had the best line of the episode when he's like, when Bull's like, so you're saying we're going to fail? She's like, failure's why we're here.
I always hated her in past seasons when she was on as a journalist, and I like her. I'm liking her this season.
Yeah. Well, not for nothing. She wasn't, I didn't really have a problem with her. She's always annoying because she is a journalist, you know, so she's going to stick her nose in and stuff, but she never compromises. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to report the story, but when push comes to shove and it's a matter of national security or a life or death situation, she holds back on the story. You know, she's not the type of journalist who's going to, you know, report all at all costs, you know, especially once she gets to know Holden and understand everything. You know what I mean? So that's why I always liked Monica. And I enjoyed the conversation between Bull and Holden about, Fred Johnson. You know, it was kind of cool. And I like what Bull says, you know, tells Holden, he's like, you know, part of the reason you and Fred always kind of butted heads was because you guys are a lot alike. And he goes, that's why you and I don't get along.
Yeah, I like that. I like that helps me to, so I've really been distrustful of Bull up until this episode.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of helps me to accept him. And then of course, when he goes out of it, when he really helps them kill the Zamaya, like that, or defend themselves, that helped me also. I'm not 100% down with him, but I'm like now 85% sure he's probably a good guy.
Yeah, no,
and I
decided after Fred got shot, from that moment on, I realized he's just a jerk and that he's not part of the problem.
And he's basically a placeholder for the whole rest of the Rossi crew until they can get back together, right?
Yeah.
And it will be actually kind of fun to see Alex come back on as the pilot, and now Bull has piloted the ship, and see a little, like, rivalry there.
Yeah.
You know? That'd be great.
So the Zamaya self-destructs. What do you think about that whole thing?
Well, I think, obviously, the protomolecule is not aboard.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they already offloaded it.
Right. I kind of assume that level of nuclear explosion would destroy the protomolecule. And it's been offloaded somewhere because it was interesting because we didn't meet those people, but we see people blow themselves up in service to Marcos in this episode, right? Like,
yeah.
I assume that wasn't a self-destruct. Earlier in the episode, Marcos said they know what to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
suicidal fervor.
Because two things. One, we don't get rid of the protomolecule that easily. It has to be more drastic. Number two, you get rid of the protomolecule. Marcos lost his leverage with the Martians, you know? And I had a feeling that's why they wanted the protomolecule was to pay the Martians for the ships.
Really is the only thing, up until now, like, there's nothing really to explain why Mars is doing this and how even the highest level of Martian defenses can get away with this. Like let's say you're secretly making a deal with Marcos. I'm pretty sure your president's going to notice that 9 destroyers went missing, right? I mean, maybe unless your president's Donald Trump, but in general, the president's going to notice that. So it has to be like, yeah. And so the protomolecule is it, right? The protomolecule. And I think they already have, what's his name? Cardozo, Carnevale, the scientist from like 3 seasons ago that they have, who I had totally forgotten about until someone mentioned him. That guy is from like season 1 or 2.
I think 2.
His name is Kara.
I don't remember his name, but pretty sure it's 2.
Yeah, there's the C. Yeah. He's that horrible scientist who was working on the human hybrid business, right?
Yeah.
And I forgot about him, and I forgot that he was on Tycho, and now I guess has been liberated from Tycho. or been captured, right? Now he, like, Mars has him. That's clear what they're planning. So it makes sense. It's the only reason. It's the only thing that makes any sense in terms of why Mars would do this. And it sort of cements for me that this is indeed at the height. Like the entire Martian government has to be complicit in this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, the Martians are at an all-time low, and getting the protomolecule would definitely put them back on even footing with Earth. Because the Martian hierarchy was kind of falling apart there.
Cortazar, that's his name, Palo Cortazar. Yeah, and it puts, like, Bobby and Alex back, in particular Bobby, I mean, through a lot of, like, I'm a Marine for Mars and I love Mars, like, and like, having to, like, change her way of thinking in seasons 1 and 2. And I like that, but I think that, you know, we'll see a little more of that. Like, she's still a Martian, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
And so is
Alex, for better or worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And while Bobby wants to save the solar system, she also, I think, wants Mars to be better than this.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's the great thing. And that's the great thing about the Rossi is you've got all walks of life, you know. It's a mishmash. It's New York City. It's the Belters. Earth and Mars all working together. And they're a family, you know, which I think is a great starting point to just, you know, kind of be like, listen, Martians used to be Earth. Belters used to be, you know, everybody started on Earth. You know, everybody started on Earth. Yes, you moved away, and now you're a Martian. Okay, fine. You know, it's, you know, generations and everything, and people, you know, and the same thing with the belt and everything. But you're still, and this is the messed up part, because this is exactly what Marcos is saying, that, hey, we're all humans. But I'm going to blow you all up because you treated us badly. You know, I love ever since he first announced, he's like, you know, the free Navy. No, it's not the free Navy. It's because they're friggin' scared to death of you. It's not free. There is a price.
Yeah. Which Drummer articulated pretty well the last time we saw her. Where, you know, or Drummer's like first mate or whoever that guy was like, yeah, do we really have a choice? Like, you said we can leave, but we really don't because the inners are going to be hunting everyone down. And, like, we got to fight on our own. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the worst
and
part
Kamina
of all this.
Was because, very angry about that.
Yeah. Even once the whole Marco situation gets resolved, which I really don't feel like it's going to happen until next season. But even once the Marco situation gets resolved, how much bad blood is there going to be between everybody again, you know? It was kind of starting to get to, you know, I mean, with the OPA and everything Fred Johnson was doing, you were kind of getting to a point where it was the beginning stages of the healing process. And then Marco swoops in, and you're worse off now than you were before, at least when the series started.
Yeah.
So how does that shape up? And unfortunately, we're never going to see how that shapes up because there's only one more season after these three episodes.
I know, right? Yeah. So. And we're going to get probably a whole Amos episode yet, and then Amos.
I don't think Amos
will not get off Earth this season.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, at least get back to the moon, you know, call Christian and get off Earth at least. Get back to the fucking moon.
If she can even do that. I feel like just like last season, Bobby last season had this totally independent storyline where she was like, I mean, it did lead into this season, but last season Bobby was on her own dealing with like petty crime on Mars. And I feel like this year it's Amos who's got this totally separate storyline.
Well, Bobby had that storyline last season because in the book, she wasn't in that book, which is why they started the whole process of this they took, you know, pieces, like I said, to so that she had something to do last season.
Well, for all I know, maybe Amos is not in this book. I don't really know, but
I don't either.
Yeah, but we're going to get at least one more Amos episode, and then maybe some episode bringing the rest of our team together.
Hey,
and
you know
like what's going to happen. Like,
real quick, something I just thought of. So we talked a lot about Philip and how, you know, he's not really redeemable in his actions. He's not showing any remorse or anything. Now, juxtapose that him with Clarissa, who was a terrorist in her own right.
Yeah.
Who was doing things for her own self-worth because daddy didn't pay attention to her.
Yeah.
But she seems to at least show remorse for her actions.
Yeah. And Philip is like a whiny, I shouldn't call him a whiny baby, but he has daddy issues and is doing what he's doing out of, like, Clarissa felt like her father didn't love her enough and preferred Julie Mao, and that, like, sparks Clarissa to try to do this thing to impress daddy, right? And now here we have Philip, who feels like mommy abandoned him, and is doing things to impress daddy. You're right. You're right, AJ. I never even thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. And
I just
somehow
thought of it now.
They have,
I...
yeah. And somehow they've transformed Clarissa into a sympathetic character. I mean,
you know,
we see her.
It works with her, I think, because you like Amos. Well, he himself isn't exactly the most innocent of people, as we learn more about his history.
No, he's definitely not, although Amos is like, he's trying. I mean, he's trying in the sense that he knows he needs other people to keep him accountable. Like, we talked about this last week. He's like, I got to get back to my team. I'm becoming this person, right?
And I think what separates Amos with the evil he's done in the past is, he's more of a survival story because, you know, I mean, his life started by getting pimped out, you know?
Yeah, as a child.
He was essentially a child sex slave.
Yeah. He was, yeah. Sorry, I was opening a box. Not a box, a bag.
Whereas the other two, I mean, Clarissa grew up wealthy and it was just... Why is Julie better than me?
Yeah.
Why don't you love me?
Clarissa was a child of incredible privilege, and whereas Amos was a child of abuse and privation, right? It's funny because Amos, for like all of being like not a good person or not ever taught to be a good person, he does like see right to the core of a person. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, Amos sees right through you and, like, diagnoses who you are when you need to. He's really insightful that way.
Amos is, and I don't want to say typical because Amos is not typical at all. He's they made a new mold with Amos.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the badass with the heart of gold.
Yeah. And he's, like, a survivor who, like, on the streets you have to immediately evaluate a person. It'll be interesting to if and when he would ever meet and would he see, you know, especially he has an affinity for abused children and like at his heart, Philip doesn't see himself as an abused person, but Philip's a person who requires 20 or 30 years of therapy to unwind what his father has done to him, right?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think anybody meets Philip. I don't think Philip either doesn't make it, you know, Philip either dies or he goes straight to prison and nobody meets. It focuses on Naomi's grief and moving on.
Yeah.
I think that's where this goes. I really don't see Philip, you know. And even if in the final hour he dies saving them, you know, I mean, it kind of gives Naomi a little bit of helpful closure, because then at least she can be like, you know, my son's dead, but at least I know I got through to him in the end, type of thing, you know? So that's something I could see. But
yeah, because you're right that Philip's crimes, there's no way Philip can evade his crimes, right? Like, he's committed crimes that
like I said, the fact that, I mean, you know, no matter how much you're trying to impress Daddy or how hard he was on you or what he's, you know, quote unquote, turned you into, you killed a group of scientists in cold blood. They had no weapons on that ship, or I'm sorry, on the space station.
Yep.
Nothing to defend themselves with whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
You're.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's something I'll never be able to understand, but I don't see how terrorists think that doing stuff like that is okay because fighting a cause.
Yeah.
I don't comprehend. I just can't comprehend that at all. You know. So I mean, you're on. You know. I mean, generally, in any war, you know, and actually this has always boggled my mind with wars, you know, I haven't been in one personally, but you look at history and it's like, there's actually rules to war. Like, it's war. You know, it's like, okay, this is a science vessel. You don't mess with a science vessel, you just leave them be, and, you know, you let them bring aid to the fallen troops and everything that so you're trying to kill each other, and these people are only injured, so we're going to let these people come through and help the people that are only injured so they can fight tomorrow and maybe die then.
Yeah.
That's war.
Yeah.
I've never. But with terrorists, they don't even observe any of that. Everybody's fair game, and we kill just whoever we feel like.
Well, yeah, I mean, Marcos basically indoctrinated a child soldier, right? Which is a war crime.
Yeah.
And you're right. And so while I can sympathize with Naomi's efforts to save her son, and even if, like, her child killed all these people, she wants to redeem him. Interestingly now, Naomi has never said, I want to help you hide so you can avoid prosecution. Like, Naomi's battling for his soul. Right.
Yeah.
She wants to save his soul.
Yeah. It's not like Naomi's sitting there like Jeffrey Dahmer's parents. He was such a good boy.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we don't get some crappy scene where Marcos tries to shoot Naomi and Philip throws himself in front of the bullet. Right? Which would be like a crap redemption story.
But again,
I'd like to see something a little more original.
But he could do
he'd
that.
He'd still be a horrible
still not
terrorist.
Redeemed.
Yeah.
He's still not redeemed for that. That is more in for Naomi. For her to go, oh shit, my kid's dead.
Like, we want to see, we want to see him turn it, like, go to Christian and say, you can catch Marcos, like, totally betray Marcos, right? Before he dies.
He ain't going to do that. Yeah, no. It's not going to be that type of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It's going to be an in-the-moment type thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if we'll get it this season even. Like, this may not, you know,
this may not end this season. No, I can't see this whole thing ending in the next three episodes. If it does, it's going to be very unsatisfying, I think, because there's just too much going on still. Now, I don't even know what to expect. I don't even know. But I also don't want to see it go on all season next season. So I could see it maybe. I could see something like, you know what? I don't know what to expect, honestly. And they haven't failed me yet, so I'm just going to leave it actually.
All right.
So, all right. Well,
all right. So next week, I did not watch anything, but Amazon immediately queues up, like we talked about this, how we thought it was one episode, but Amazon immediately queued up the next one. Which looks to be an Amos episode.
Okie dokie.
I don't know anything about it, but I saw Amos's face when it queued up, and then I was like, AJ, should I stop? So we'll cover that next week.
All right, so we'll cover that next week, and then we will also have Snowpiercer, because that is on Monday night. So we'll have the first episode of season 2 of Snowpiercer.
Great.
All right.
Okay. All right. Until then, have a great week.
You too. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and good night.
Good night.